about the Messi thing.
Anything else on the Messi front, Chris, before we move on?
No, I'm done.
I'm falling out. I told you, I never want to bring this guy's name up again.
I don't know, man. This Messi thing is just a freaking mess. What a disaster.
I don't want to hear this name ever again until it's official. But they got me back.
No question about it. I am ready to get hurt again.
Solana, the Herons are back. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 180 of the Battle Herons podcast. I am your host, Daniel Granada, and alongside me, as you, well, usually it's KBD, but he's celebrating a birthday. Happy birthday to him. He's still at the stadium. I actually gave him my two tickets so he could take his whole family out there. So I am at home. He is having a good time celebrating what was an ass-kicking, a revenge game. But with me, we do have Mr. Solana himself. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing fantastic. Honestly, started my day off amazing. Got second place in my golf tournament. Shout out to the KGL. And then what better thing to happen than the night that the Mr. Daniel Granada invites me on to the Battered Herons post-game show. First time ever on the post-game show. Of course, my boy. Hat trick, baby. Hat trick.
Yeah.
Give me some Suarez, baby.
I mean, there's a lot to talk about today, man. The ass kicking, the change from first half to second half. Messi, first six goal contributions ever in MLS history in one game. Suarez hat trick. Matias Rojas. I honestly thought at one point that he was going to be the talking point of the night. But things just started rolling.
Manny Reds.
Yes. So much to talk about. But just real quick, because I know people are going to be asking where Chris is. Today was Chris's birthday. He went out to the stadium. I believe he's going to head north after the game. He's going to go spend some time with his family up north. So he unfortunately can't join us. He said that he would, might jump on like through his phone while he's driving once he gets out of the stadium for a couple minutes. But it's me and Solana today, and we got a lot to talk about. So I don't even know where to start. Well, actually, I do know where to start. I just want to cover one thing. Coincidentally, when was it? On Monday, Chris and I were predicting when Messi would break the goal scoring record for the franchise. When he would become the all-time leading goal scorer on the franchise. We had that conversation on Monday. And we predicted maybe Atlanta on May 29th. And then after that, we started talking about the assists. And we said, you know what? It's going to be harder for him to break the assist all-time record because Robert Taylor is currently leading and he's an active player. So it might take him a little longer. Well, that was 5 days ago. Mr. Lionel Messi is now the Inter Miami's all-time assist leader. It took him to the next game. We were predicting that it would take him another month or two. Literally, the next game, he is the all-time leader in assists for the for Inter Miami. Congrats to him. Today's game was just wild. The way they looked in the first half, the way they turned around things in the second half, it was just a joy to watch. Just overall thoughts on the game before we get into the specifics, Solana.
You basically said it, man. The first half was disappointing, man. Disappointing that goal. It was something I was kind of expecting because, you know, the Red Bulls kept attacking from the top, kind of playing that long ball and knowing us, we're playing this high line. And I saw it coming, man. I saw it coming. Oh, special shout out right there to Tarek for that. For that super, super like right there. That was awesome. But
super slam.
Dude, super slam. My bad, bro. I'm not used to the slams.
But, it's actually a super chat, but we coined this super slam. And let me just real quick. Tariq says, I appreciate you, Tariq. Messi, one goal and five assists in one game. No one can tell me he's not the GOAT. I don't think anybody argues that. I think even Ronaldo lovers don't argue that anymore. I mean, he is without a doubt the GOAT. It is the first time in MLS history that somebody has six contributions, goal contributions in a game. And I want to say it's he tied the record, or I don't know if he broke it. That I wasn't sure of if he tied or broke the record for most assists in a game in MLS history. So go ahead, Solana.
No, I was just going to say, it was an awful, awful first half. I expected that goal. It was weird how it came. And then they didn't really do anything for the rest of the half. And then as soon as Tata plugged in Matias Rojas, I want to put up another sign here for all my friends, but donde están los Tata haters? Because today he made the sub. Today he made the sub that was needed. He put in Matty Reds
at the right time,
and it changed the entire game. And that Inter 100%. Miami in the second half was scary. Danny was scary.
Yeah, and I want to talk about Matias Rojas. And I was also surprised that he came in for Ruiz, and we're gonna get into that in a second. But we try to be organized in our post games. So let's start from the beginning. The starting 11. All right. Equipo que gana no se toca. The winning team, you don't change it. Same 11 from last week. In the back, we had Callender. From left to right, left back, we have Negri. We had Freire, Aviles, and Weigand. In the midfield, we had Busquets, and we had Gressel on the right. We had David Ruiz on the left side of him. And up top, we had Robert Taylor, left wing, Luis Suarez, striker, and Messi, right wing. No surprises for me. Anything that stood out to you in the starting lineup?
No surprise for me. No. The only thing that I've been calling for, obviously, is a little bit of more CJ Dos Santos over Callender. But, you know, no complaints about Callender's play today. I thought he played okay playing out from the back. He didn't have anything that was kind of crazy. So, no surprises. You know, I thought, like you said, el equipo que gana no se toca.
No. And, okay. So, no surprises. I was happy. I liked the 4-3-3. I was hoping that eventually Cremaki would come in for Gressel as a starter in the starting 11. But I think we've all come to terms with the fact that Gressel is going to be the consistent starter until Redondo and Gomez come back. So, that's fine. So, the game started. And as we expected, Red Bulls with their – they're known for the press. They pressed us, and they gave us fits. It looked like we were playing with five in the back because Busquets was basically the third center back trying to help work out of that pressure. And for the most part, we held possession the whole time because the Red Bulls allowed us to have possession for the majority of that first half because that's what they want. They want us to have that possession so they could force a turnover and kind of go on the counterattack. What did you think about Inter Miami the first one, like 20 minutes was that they were pressing before they started playing that mid block?
Yeah, it was absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible. I mean, even the announcers, both in English and Spanish, I was, you know, watching it back and forth because I like to hear both commentaries. And they were both saying that it was awful, that, you know, New York was just all over Miami. And it was true. I mean, they could not do anything. The turnovers were left like the and first right, game. You know, out of the back. Yeah, it looked awful. It looked awful. You know, the only difference was that I think now you had a more set lineup, you had the regular players in, and so they were able to work it out. And it wasn't a complete debacle like that first game where it was just an avalanche of goals by the Red Bulls. So, you know, they were kind of able to work it out and hold that 1-0 deficit through the rest of the half, which was much needed, right?
100%. And I felt like the Red Bulls had the same strategy they had from the first game, which worked well because the first 18 to 20 minutes, high press, high press, high press. And then after that, they started playing that mid block and they were impressing. It's like they were picking and choosing when they would press. And they started playing more of a mid block, kind of inviting the center backs to move forward a little bit. Here, we're giving you space and then baiting them to move up. And it worked eventually because eventually they caught them on the counter. And they caught him on the counter, and we paid, right? We went down 1-0. Real quick, I see Mr. KBD himself. Shout out. Happy birthday to him. I see him. He's joining in the chat. I'm assuming he's driving already. So shout out to Chris. Happy birthday to Chris. Yes, and I mean, that was one hell of a game that he got to go to with his kids. So that's awesome.
Got to see six goals, man. When was the last time Inter Miami scored six goals?
That's the first time in history that Inter Miami scores six goals.
I think they scored almost all the goals where you guys sit.
No, it was on the other side.
Oh, it was on the other side?
It was also, yeah, the supporter side.
Poor Chris.
And Adrian, appreciate the shout out for the shirts. Anybody looking for some Inter Miami gear, visit batterfans.com. It's all there. We'll get it to you in a week. Awesome.
I have a question for you and maybe for some of the people in the chat on the goal. On the goal that they scored against us, I think Weigand, he needs to foul Forsberg there. And I think he kind of screwed up. And maybe he tried to foul him or not. But Forsberg put a nice move on him. Shout out to Forsberg's wife but and kids, you know, his family that are over there in Europe. And he's playing soccer over here, you know, completely disappeared. But I thought he should have fouled him. That was a play where in a normal, you know, a normal game, you got to foul the player right there. He fouls.
That's a tactical foul. Yeah.
Correct.
That would be a tactical foul. I agree. And I mean, on the rebound, because I mean, he didn't score on the first shot. On the rebound, I think that there should have been somebody trailing. But at that moment, everybody's kind of, when we get caught in transition, everybody's running around with their heads cut off, just trying to track back. It's unfortunate. But that's kind of the Red Bulls thing. And shout out to Zeke, Messi breaking all-time records, assists, and goal contributions. Yes, first time in history that that a player has 5 assists and 6 goal contributions in a game. The Red Bulls almost invited them to push up, right? Because when they were pressing, Inter Miami has no choice but to kind of stay back. But when they started playing that mid-block, the center back started feeling a little more comfortable, started moving up a little higher, started getting higher up the pitch, and all of a sudden they get caught on the counter. And, I mean, it is what it is. We've seen this so many times that I'm almost not surprised anymore. I mean, you got a question here, Solana.
I'm not surprised at all. Yeah, I saw, and I answered in the chat to Yamila. 100% soy Yoruba, Uruguayo, del corazón desde la muerte. So, but I answered her in the chat there just to let her know. Thank you. Okay. Thank you for the support.
How is Jimmy Butler feeling? Well, I'm sure he enjoyed the game.
I mean, he's gone fishing, but I'm sure he enjoyed the game today. Absolutely. He's a big Messi fan, I hear.
Yeah, I've heard the same. All right, he's a big Neymar fan also.
Absolutely. Be careful.
Yeah. Nah, I know. All right, so the first half, I mean, it was a lot of nothing for Inter Miami. They couldn't get the ball to their final third. They had a hard time getting through the midfield. They couldn't beat the press. And it was playing into the Red Bulls' hands because they were just allowing us to have possession. I'll look into it right now. And Mr. KBD is contributing to the love with the Super Slam, $4.99. Appreciate the love for yourself, Mr. KBD. All right. As I keep talking here, I'm going to look into what the possession was at the first half. But while I do that, what were you thinking at halftime, Solana?
I mean, I was hoping that Tata was going to make a sub because something needed to be done. There wasn't enough going on in the midfield. There was a lot of disconnect between the defense, the midfield, the forwards. It just wasn't happening. Like, there was no flow. So he needed to make a sub. And as soon as the team came out in the second half and I saw, you know, I was a little surprised at the sub. I thought maybe he'd take out Gressel and leave, David Ruiz in just because he's a little bit more feisty, you know, kind of like that, the player that you want next to Busquets, because Busquets is a little bit slower. But look, for all the Tata haters that say he doesn't make the right subs and he makes crazy formations and he gets into his head, today he did the right sub, man. He made the right sub. So I was happy to see Matias Rojas come in the second half. And I had look, there's something different with this squad this year that you can't say about any former Inter Miami squad. And that's when they're down at halftime by 1 or 2 goals. You don't feel like the game is lost yet. You feel like they can at least come back and tie, especially when you have Messi and Suarez in the lineup. If you've got Solana, both of those in the lineup.
I feel like you're good at this podcasting thing because you just led me into my next point. Good job, Solana. Look at this.
I'm learning, man. I'm learning. It's all the experience that you got me on battered heat. You know?
What I was going to say now is that Inter Miami this season has 35 total goals. 12 of those in the first half, 23 of those coming in the second half. So, oh no, I'm sorry, not 23. I actually, that's more because they scored six.
Six from today?
I'm missing 3. So look at 29. That. So let me update this. So 26 in the second half, 38 total goals. A live update here. So, because I was updating this after the third goal. So 26 second half goals, 38 goals total. So 12 in the first half, 26 in the second half. They take a while to grow into the game. But once they grow into the game and start kind of dominating the ball, playing their style of ball, it's a completely different game in the second half, like it was. But I think if David Ruiz stays in the game, it might not change the way it did. David Ruiz had an opportunity in the first half inside his own box. He almost tripped over himself, it seemed. And the opportunities came few and far between where you can't pass those up. I think Gressel also had an open opportunity. I think it might have been in the second half, though, where he had a clear shot on goal, and it almost looked like he tapped it wide of the goal instead of going at goal. Before we get into the second half, your thoughts on Julian Gressel?
I mean, I see there that everybody says he's awful. Everybody talks about him being terrible. But look, I kind of, and again, I'm not making this comparison one-to-one, but I'm trying to make it so that the analogy, so folks understand that Gressel is kind of like Bam Adebayo, where it's not always about the scoring. It's about the intangibles that he offers. And not only that, he knows Tata's system very, very well. And he is a very decent technical player. He touches the ball very well. He can play 1-2 touch. And so having him there, you know, gives Tata a little bit more, I guess, you know, a little bit more calmness, tranquilidad in his midfield. I don't think that I'm looking for him to be the star. You don't need him to be the star. You just need him to get there and play, make a few good plays, and you know, defend. But I'll tell you this. David Ruiz had one big, big, big play that saved a goal in the first half when he slightly kicked the ball away from right. you know, from that Red Bulls attacker.
He was attacking, you know, on the right side of the box. Yeah.
Right. But other than that, he did nothing. So I think the sub for him was the correct sub, you know, that Tata made. And Matias Rojas made all the difference in the second half. What do you say?
No, I agree. And real quick, Alejandro usually donates to Chris's wall, but today he's donating a drink for Chris. So, Chris, there you go. You got $10 on the way to buy yourself a drink tonight, wherever it is that you end up. So shout out to Chris again on his birthday. By the way, whenever you see Chris, make sure that you remind him that his birthday is overshadowed by Star Wars Day. He's going to love to hear that. He loves the fact that he shares that day with Star Wars.
I'm sure right. he does.
Yeah, he absolutely loves it. All right. So I agree. David Ruiz didn't do much. Now, this is the second game in a row where Gressel has a pinpoint cross from the right side of the pitch to the left side of the pitch to get a transition play going. And everybody always talks so highly about his crosses. And he's showed it twice in a row, in two games in a row. Beautiful, but his finishing is abysmal. So if you can't finish, stay away from the box. And I think he turns the ball over way too much in the midfield. I feel like his touch is poor. And I feel like when I don't notice him is when I'm happy with him, because I feel like I notice him more for bad than for good. So like you said, he does know Tata's tactics
system
very well. Right, his system well. And I mean, he does what he has to do. As long as we don't notice him, I guess he's doing well. But there's so many times that I notice him either giving the ball away or just giving away opportunities where it feels like he should be able to control him.
Here's the bright side, Danny. Here's the bright side is that, look, you already have some sort of issues in terms of who do you start in the midfield today, because you could have easily started Kremaski. You could have easily started, now you know, Matias Rojas. You have mm-hmm. Gressel. You have Busquets. Bright came in and played okay. So you have options. And you have Redondo chilling, you know, waiting to get back. And you have Diego Gomez, mm-hmm. who has been probably this team's MVP other than Messi this mm-hmm. year. So mm-hmm. Tata's going to have a wonderful problem come, you know, two, three weeks from now when everybody is fully healthy. And not only that, Danny, but when the other guys leave, when Diego Gomez leaves to Copa America, if he, you know, gets back in time, or if he leaves to the Olympics, you're going to need a Julian Gressel in there, somebody with, you know, who's a veteran who can come in and be a sub off the bench or even start when some of those players are gone. So, look, I'm not always looking for Gressel to be the all-star every game, or, you know, he's going to miss goals. He doesn't have the best punteria in the world, but he does what he has to do. And that
you wouldn't want to see Kremaki start over him?
No. I don't. Okay. I don't. It depends. Maybe if it's a Kremaski, Diego Gomez, and Busi, maybe, or even maybe a Redondo, Kremaski, Diego Gomez, maybe. But I do like right now. I do like what Gressel is doing with Wigan and also with you know, with Toto Aviles and with his pairing in the midfield. So I do like what he's doing there.
All right. When we found out that Matias Rojas was coming in, did you expect him to come in for David Ruiz or for Robert Taylor? Because everything I had heard is that he's a forward. I always knew that he would eventually play in the left wing role, which eventually by the end of the game he was when Robert Taylor came off. But were you surprised when he came in and started playing that left mid? And by the way, CJC 2611, shout out to you. Appreciate the super chat. If Messi keeps up this beautiful assist to Suarez, then he's going to lose the golden boot. Goat problems. Yeah, I'm sure he doesn't mind. He'll give Suarez the golden boot without a problem. Were you surprised with the fact that Matias Rojas came in for David Ruiz instead of Robert Taylor?
No, because okay. I thought he was actually going to come in for Gressel, not for David okay. Ruiz. So that was what I was thinking, because I thought that that was going to look for a little bit more offense, which is not, you know, traditionally what Gressel gives you. Gressel gives you a little bit more defense, a little bit more stability, like one of the people in the chat said. So, you know, I thought he was going to look for a little bit more offense and keep the grit with, you know, Ruiz in the middle. But look, I knew he was capable of playing in the midfield. He came from Corinthians, you know, touted as a media punta, somebody who can play as a wing position, as, you know, in the midfield as well. He also played in Racing in Argentina. So, you know, I saw him play in both places, and I was not surprised with any of the ability or with anything that happened tonight.
Man, shout out to George. Reminding everybody, hit the like button. Appreciate everybody that's on here right now. So just help us out. Hit the like. And if you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead, subscribe. Well, I was surprised that he came in for David Ruiz. You thought for Gressel. I thought for Robert Taylor. Just because I know that he's more of a natural forward. But he came in and immediately made an impact. Now, in the very first goal, Messi, by the way, when you think of Messi, I know he does everything perfect, right? Like, he's obviously the greatest of all time. But the hold-up play today, I thought was a thing of beauty. Because his hold-up play, for like two or three goals, he got the ball and kind of just stood on the ball, waiting for everybody to make their run. And when he got the ball to Matias Rojas, and Matias Rojas worked the ball to his left and hit that strike, and that thing went in the back of the net, I grabbed my phone. And the very first thing that I texted Chris, because I texted Chris immediately, I said, goodbye, Robert Taylor. And I don't mean that in a bad way. If you are a normal listener to this show, you know I love Robert Taylor. But I told you that I thought that he was going to lose his job to Farias. And then I told you, if Matias Rojas ends up being a baller, I think Tata might play him over Robert Taylor. And I mean, I might have been getting ahead of myself, right? I like to bother Chris a lot because I know he's obsessed with Robert Taylor. But let me tell you, with that strike, that's a Robert Taylor. That's something we get accustomed to seeing from Robert Taylor. And if Rojas does that more consistently, he might get that left wing spot. What did you think of that first goal from Matias Rojas?
I thought it was a golazo. I think it should be on Monday's footy, you know, Monday CBS footy golazo show, because I thought it was an absolute banger. You know, I was a little surprised that he kind of took the shot. Because normally in that play, you know, one of those players is kind of moving the ball around and trying to look for Messi again. So I was kind of surprised like that he took the shot. And it almost looked like a Messi play, because if you notice, Messi gave him the ball. He took one or two, you know, kind of touches with his left foot, and boom, he banged it. It was unbelievable. I was watching the game with my son, and even my son, we showered at halftime. Got out of the shower, and I left him on the bed watching the game on my phone, and I hear go like that, and he papa papa goal goal ben ben. So I was like, oh, and when I saw it was Rojas, I was like, no way. And that's when I texted you, Matty Reds. Wow, Matty Reds is playing. Yeah. He was just playing out of control. But I'll tell you this, I said it on the Discord earlier in the week. If there's one person in the summer transfer window that you have to watch out who could be traded, and it's because of his value and his contract, it's Robert Taylor. So be happy that Inter Miami has Matias Rojas, who can play up top. You have Diego Gomez, who can play up top. They can interchange. Can you imagine when those two come back? Or when Diego Gomez comes back and they play together? They can interchange. I mean, it's going to be unbelievable.
I agree. Look, I was surprised with Matias Rojas, and it just the one thing is that people give Chris a lot of crap for here in this show is the fact that he apparently hates Paraguayans, and I mean, he can't be hating this right here. This performance today was awesome for Matias Rojas, and I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing more of him. Completely changed the game around. Now, as soon as we scored that goal, well, I forgot to ask you, at halftime, were you thinking that we were going to win this game, or were you still questioning it? You
thought we were going to win? No, no, no. Yeah, we talked about it earlier. I mean, I think with this team, even down 1-0 at halftime, if you've got, you know, Messi and Suarez playing in the lineup and also, you know, surrounded by all these other awesome variables, I have zero doubt in my mind that that they can come back from 2 down. So I had zero doubt they were going to win.
Well, you know what? I don't think I felt as I didn't think that they would lose. I didn't. But I had a feeling like they were having such a hard time beating the press that this was going to play out kind of like the first game, not necessarily the scoreboard, but a frustrating game trying to get the offense going all game. And I thought that they would score maybe 2, but that we would give up one more, giving the ball away with the press, not being able to break the press or turning the ball over in the midfield. And I was thinking, like, this might end up a 2-2 draw. Now, and that's how I felt at halftime. Now, you said you felt a lot more comfortable. I felt like it might be a 2-2 draw. But obviously, Matias Rojas came in, changed things around. And then just 2 minutes later, Inter Miami starts to press. And now, when they press with Campana when he's playing. They press with Diego Gomez and Robert Taylor. Messi and Suarez aren't really going to press. But Diego Gomez isn't there, but we have another Paraguayan. Like Xavi likes to say, los pulmones, the lungs of the team, Diego Gomez. But now we have Matias Rojas. Now, nobody's really talking about the fact that he forced that turnover that ended up on Luis Suarez's feet, and he kind of gave that outlet pass to Messi, and he scored his first goal. We took that 2-1 lead. At that point, I'm convinced that we're going to win because the tide had turned. What were you thinking after that second goal?
No doubt Inter Miami was going to win after that. You know, even after the first goal, I had no doubt that they were going to score 2-3-4 because the Red Bulls were going to have to open up their game and they weren't going to be allowed to play their kind of sit back and wait for the counter anymore because Inter Miami was kind of pushing up and putting a lot more pressure on them and they were getting the turnovers that they weren't getting in the first half. So right after that Matias Rojas goal, I knew the floodgates were going to open. Now, did I think they were going to score 6? Hell no. But I thought definitely they were going to put 3 up there, no doubt. And I thought the game would end 3-1. You know, I want to give a shout out to the third goal, which was the Matias Rojas, that second goal. Unbelievable give and go from Messi to Rojas back to Messi. And that threading pass that Messi gives to Rojas and he chips the goalie. I mean, that might be one of the best goals of the season for Inter Miami. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable goal.
Yeah, because he kind of gave a stutter step that took the goalie off balance. And once he fell off balance, then he chipped it over. Right. It was beautiful. But you know what? It was a beautiful chip. And I maybe didn't hear when you just said it, but that pass was better than the Cremaki pass. I don't know if you guys remember when Inter Miami beat the Red Bulls in September last year in New Jersey. Messi had like the assist of the year where he kind of passed the ball forward to where Kramaski was going to be. He wasn't there yet. Kramaski passed it back to Messi. Beautiful play, beautiful goal. Today's pass was even more beautiful. The way he threaded it between 3 or 4 defenders, the way Rojas kind of stood his defender up, but he almost like posted him out. He did like a post up, let the ball fall forward to him. Like it was a thing of beauty. And when I saw the way Messi and Rojas are kind of working together, I think let's get ready to see Rojas a lot more often next to Messi. Because in the time that we saw him today, he looked like he was combining with Messi beautifully.
It almost looked like how him and Suarez play at times. It looked like flashes of that. And if you can get Matias Rojas to be on the same page as Messi and Suarez, and you can have, you know, kind of like that triangle where you have those three guys kind of attacking. Oof. These guys are clicking on all cylinders, man. And it's really nice to see that because, you know, I know you guys talked about it on the English show. We've talked about it on, you know, Battered Herons and Espanol. You know, that there was 30 points here before the Copa America and that Inter Miami needed to win as many as they could. Now, they've won, I believe, 6 of those 30 or 9 of those 30 because they've won the last couple games.
They had 24 points already.
There's still a lot of work to be done, but man, does it feel good to see the team play like that and then to see them get so many goleadas in one season. after being the ones that have been goleados for so many seasons, it just gets just – it just feels good, man. You just – it doesn't ruin your weekend anymore. You know, you have a happy Saturday now.
I don't want to get off the beaten path, right? I want to keep talking about the game. But just real 100%. Quick, because you mentioned the points. We're at 24 points at right now. We're supporter Shears leaders. And we said that we needed to have a nice cushion when the summer comes, because Messi's going to leave. Suarez might get called up because he's balling. You know, Gomez, like a bunch of players might leave, right? Because we have great international players. So from now until I want to say the last game Messi will play, which probably will be June 1st against St. Louis, there's 6 games. We do not lose when Messi plays. This season, we have not lost with Messi. Last season, we only lost once, which was the last game of the season, which didn't matter. We've talked about that. We have an opportunity with 6 games to have 18 more points, right? Hypothetically, maybe we won't win them all, right? We have some teams like Orlando, which will be a tough game. Vancouver will be a tough game. St. Louis might be a tough game. But hypothetically, 18 points. If we were to win all of them, not saying we are, but let's say hypothetically we do, that puts us at 42 points. 42 points gets you into the playoffs last year. And we still have half the season to go. So the next 6 games are crucial, because all you want is to make the playoffs. If you can go ahead and get those 18 points or close to it, you are a shoo-in for the playoffs already. At this point, you're just playing for the supporter shield, trying to get some home field advantage games for the playoffs. So we are in good standing as we currently speak.
And folks wanted to fire Tata 3 weeks ago. I mean, guys, we've been saying it on both shows. You got to be patient with this team. They're going to click. They're going to click. You got to be patient. Last year at this time, we were probably sitting in, 12th, 13th place. Everybody was just sick and tired of Phil Neville. And shout out to Phil, you know, in Portland. But dude, you know, now Inter Miami's in first place. And, you know, I love how everybody gets, you know, gets online on Inter Miami Twitter and they're out there and, you know, they're talking their shit. It's like that cocky Heat fan. But now we got the cocky Inter Miami fan because, you know, they're just in first place. It just feels good, man. It feels good. Feels good to be the villain. Feels good to be the villain.
You know what? And today I was going to wear Say Hello to the Bad Guys. It's a Miami shirt that we have. But man, once these two guys go, and I was like, nah, I gotta rock with Suarez and Messi for tonight. But we are the bad guys. We are the bad guys, and I mean, we love it. I mean, most people down here love being the bad guys. It's fun. It's fun. So, at that point, we had a goal from Messi. We had 2 goals from Rojas. I'm ready to talk Rojas for the rest of the night. Honestly, is what I thought this was gonna be. But little did I know, we still had 3 goals on the way. All from your boy Suarez. I'll let you break down the first one because honestly, I can't remember it. Do you remember the first Luis Suarez goal? Because I mean, there were so many goals today, they're all just mixing up in my head now.
Yeah, so I mean, I thought Suarez's his game was unbelievable. So the first one, Danny, it was probably the nicest one of all three. If I remember correctly, it was the one where he gets the ball. He kind of backs out a defender, defends the ball, gets it to Messi, runs inside. Messi waits, centers the ball, and Suarez kind of scissor kicks it into the left side of the goal. Oh, that's right. Was an absolute
goal. That was another one of the hold-up plays I was talking about, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. But that's one thing that Suarez does fantastic that I think Leo Campana needs to learn, because Leo Campana is a much bigger player in terms of his height, right, his stature. Just a much bigger player, and he should be able to do what Suarez does. But Suarez, with his old knees and stuff, I mean, he held off that defender twice. Not once, twice, because the ball came down once, and then he held him off again. Got it, gave it to Messi, and then he just went to his position where he knows that he's going to, he's going to get the ball. And, Messi, once again, threads the needle and puts it on his foot. And it's just something that you see from the Barca days, man. These guys love to play together, man. They love to play together. They're best friends, and it's just a beautiful sight. I love looking at your shirt, man. I love looking at your shirt.
I got to send you one. All right. So that first goal from Suarez, at that point, we're up 4-1. That hold-up play by Messi, he kind of just waited for Suarez to get in position. A thing of beauty. The second goal was the give-and-go, where it was a beautiful give and go. I don't know how Messi got the ball to Suarez. And honestly, I don't know how Suarez kept the ball at his feet, kind of got through the two defenders and finished. And at that point, it was just, you guys ever heard of the Red Wedding from Game of Thrones?
100%.
This was like the Pink Wedding, right? Because we got our revenge. 4-0, everybody's like the worst loss of the year, the worst loss since the new era, the Messi era. And they came back. And I said, I almost feel like the Red Bulls are the perfect team to beat us. But because I know Messi and Suarez and all these guys have a lot of pride. And after losing 4-0 to these guys, I knew that they were going to have it in there. I was surprised the first half that it went the way it did. But I knew that these guys are going to want to kick their ass. So it showed. It showed in the second half, Pink Wedding style. At that point, it was 5-1, and we're off to the races.
Hey, we got a question here. Danny Swarm is asking, I don't know, you can put it up or not, but he asked, please explain the term supporter shield. Tried searching it up, but I'm left even more confused. Is it voted for? So you go ahead, let them know what it is.
All right, so the supporter shield, like, if you follow the English Premier League, the La Liga, and most of the leagues in Europe or some of the ones in South America, the champion is the team that ends up with the most points at the end of the season. That is your champion. That's how you win the EPL. That's how you win La Liga. That's how you win it. In the MLS, you have a playoff system. So if you end the end of the season with the most points, you are not crowned the champion of the league. You get what's called the supporter shield, which is the equivalent, but we don't really celebrate it like a championship. It's a congratulations for having a great regular season, but now the playoffs begin. So although it's technically the same as winning the EPL title, La Liga title, and winning the league that way, here, you don't win the league that way. You basically just get a pat on the back.
Basically just get a plate. You get a plate.
Yeah, you get a plate, and it moves around from team to team. So, so that's basically what it is. It's nothing out of this world, unfortunately. And people are asking for the heat map. But the last time I put this heat map up, I got in trouble. But just real quick, that is the heat map that I think a lot of everybody wants to see. That is what it looked like when we were putting it on the Red Bulls. And there you go. All right.
I like that. It looked pretty accurate. That's all I'm saying.
It was accurate. That was the second half heat map, by the way. The first half, not so much. Second half, that was an accurate heat map. All right. Solana, the last goal. Go ahead. I'll let you break that one down.
Hey, the last goal was just another Suarez specialty, huh? From Messi, dude. Those guys,
that tight angle.
That's what I'm saying. Those guys. Look, if you thought Messi's first pass, like first thread the needle to Matias, was nasty, then you look at the second. You know that first pass he gave to Suarez was nasty. This last one to me was the nastiest of all of them because he literally he has to put it at a place where he knows Suarez can get to with his old knees, right? So he can't just pass it down the line or anything. So he angles it in, like, perfect. Suarez gets to it, taps it just around the goalie, taps it into the back of the net, and then we get the once and the always three kisses right here and this one, and you get your first Inter Miami Luis Suarez hat trick 10 games into the season after everybody bitched him out after game one. Oof, and game
remember
two.
That? So after, like, yeah, that was horrible.
10 goals in 10 games, 15 goals and assists in 10 games. Messi has 20 goals and assists in 10 games.
I think he has 21.
21?
He has 10 goals and 11 assists.
So is there a better duo in MLS right now? Or
is
ever?
Is there a better duo in this century? Because remember, you gotta put the Barca days also in there when they were playing in Barcelona.
And I would love to ask Javi on Monday night on the battered Aaron and Espanol.
And if you're in the chat, go ahead. See if there's a better duo because the give and goes that they have, the goal contributions between each other. This century, right, 2000 until now, the last 24 years, is there a better duo that you can think of? Because
not even that, because Suarez got to Barca in like 2009, 2010. So in the last 15 years, you could even say, is there a better duo in the last 15 years? And I don't think there is, man. It's really, really incredible. I think
shout out to Rick Hunter.
I saw that for the heat map. I mean, everybody loves the heat map, bro. Everybody loves the heat map. Unbelievable. I think the only thing that could be closer would be Messi and Di Maria. I think that's the only thing that could be closer to like a Messi Suarez duo. And that's, you know, that they don't get to play as often because it's only on the national team.
Right, but that's only internationally.
Right.
Di Maria played, Madrid, Man U, PSG, Benfica. Is that where he's been?
Something like that.
I know I saw somebody in the Discord asking earlier about how many passes Inter Miami had in their own half. So I was going to pull that up for you right now. In our own half, in the first half, we had 196 passes. In the second half, in our own half, we had 221. So obviously, we were playing in our own half a lot this game. But we were finding spaces to progress forward a lot more in the second half, obviously. So it was just a completely different game in the second half. And I mean, it was just awesome.
Well, and you would expect that. You would expect, and I apologize, I was wrong. That I don't think he went to Barcelona in 2009. It was 2014 that he was in Barcelona, I think. But anyways, and that's Suarez. But talking about what you were saying, you know, 2014. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. And Neymar got the 20. Yeah, and Neymar got the 2013. That's right. Neymar got there a year before.
Right. Yeah. Going back to you know what you were just talking. You mentioned again what you were just talking about. Because now we were talking about Suarez. I went back and I
can't remember.
It's all right. Before, it's all right.
Man,
anyway,
why did you two miss the game? I gave my tickets to Chris. It was his birthday and he wanted to take his whole family. So Chris got my tickets. I'm not a sacrificial lamb, though.
I'm not a season ticket holder, but my wife left to Milan for work today. So I had the youngster, the little 3-year-old with me. Nice. And me and my son watched the game together. So, that's why I didn't go to the game.
Nice. Man. Milan, okay.
Yeah, she gets to travel, and I get to stay at home with my son. So it's lovely, bro.
It's a win-win.
Always.
Right?
Always. Always.
All right. So at that point, that's it. That was the last goal. Now, I was starting to set up my setup here to get on to record, and I missed the penalty. I don't know if you got to watch it. What exactly happened at the end that they got the penalty called and got to score that second goal?
I have absolutely no idea because I did the same thing because you texted me. You're like, we're starting as soon as the whistle blows. And I was like, boom, I put my son to bed. Mm-hmm. I made back and I watched a couple of the goals that I missed while I was putting him to bed. And then I figured it was 6-1 YOLO, so I just turned it off. And I got on the computer, so I didn't catch it. No bourbon. I do have some tonight. Upstairs, so I'm gonna serve some as soon as we get done with the show.
Mr. Krabs, Drake got ran over. Why did NY? Unfortunately, I was not watching. I was setting up so I can make sure that we got on here as soon as the game ended. And I honestly didn't think that there were gonna be any more goals. So I thought that they were just gonna give 2 or 3 minutes of extra time. I was surprised when they gave 5 minutes, and then even more when they called the penalty. It kind of sucked a little bit. I wanted to get that 6-1. 6-2 is good also. And KBD, go ahead, showing some love to Solana for filling in for him. So, of course, we appreciate
anytime,
Solana joining us.
Anytime.
All right.
You guys know I love it.
So, any other standouts for you in the game?
In the game, no. But
the obvious ones were Rojas, Suarez, and Messi, obviously. So, anybody else stand out to you?
Not really. I think, Chelo Wigan didn't play that well. I thought Toto Aviles had a rough game. Freire also had a rough game. I thought overall the defense was a little rough. I thought the best defender out of all four was Negri. But overall, I think, excellent job by the midfield, definitely in the second half. Excellent job by the forwards. I thought Robert Taylor got kind of, we didn't see a lot of him tonight. I thought he was just overshadowed by Matias Rojas and just he didn't really do much. And then obviously, you got to give a shout out to Tata. He made the subs that he needed to make when he needed to make them, and it worked out for him. So, you got to give him a shout out. The only negative that I see of the entire night is on this show, bro. We got over like 600 people watching live and only 157 likes. So, and I know Chris is the one. Chris is the one that always talks about that. So I'm filling in for him. So I got to call all the people out. You know, I just want to say we got over 600 people watching live, which is crazy. Only 150 likes. So that's, you know, that's the worst thing that happened tonight.
Tank, real quick. I kind of want you to explain why was it was a shit show in the North Stand. And while you fill us in on what that is, because he said something about fire hazards. I don't know what that means. Man, I lost my train of thought when I saw Tank's comment. Oh, it'll come back to me eventually.
Yeah, I do want to hear what happened though. So you know, I'll look around social media and
I just remembered. So I know you were saying that you don't want Drake to start. So what did you think of Drake's performance tonight? Because you weren't the only one. A lot of people are asking for Drake to be gone. Now, if you tell me that you're going to bring in somebody else, maybe. But if you're telling me that you're going to get rid of him for CJ Dos Santos, that's not what I want to hear. But what did you think of him today?
Look, I said it at the top of the show. I thought he had a good game overall. You know, he wasn't in any crazy trouble where he had to, you know, do anything crazy with his feet. You know, somebody mentioned it in the comments earlier. He still doesn't, you know, when he receives the ball and he just kind of kicks it out, he still doesn't have like a certain placement or he doesn't try to kick it to somebody. He just clears it. And I think he needs to kind of, you know, have an idea of who he's going to give it to, either, you know, go to one of the sides or try to pinpoint a player. And that you need to look at ahead of time to see where your team is. So I think he needs to improve in that base, but he made fantastic saves. And he wasn't in trouble at any point of the night. So, you know, my grade for him is, you know, 8.59. I thought he did fantastic.
There was a moment there in the first half before the Red Bulls even scored that he received a ball back. I think it was from Weigand. But the Red Bulls were on top of him, and he tried to get an outlet pass out to Negri and sailed it out of bounds. And then the camera pans right to his face, and he looks flustered. And I think it's gotten to the point where when he makes a mistake, he might get in his own head. And you said that he should get benched for a game. I'm not opposed to that. Maybe he needs like a mental break because it seems like maybe it's getting to him. But I agree. I think he settled down. He wasn't in a lot of trouble. So it's hard to kind of rate his game because, I mean, there was a nice save he had, but it was from distance. He had plenty of time to kind of get on the ball. He wasn't really tested too much, but I mean, if he wasn't tested, it's not his fault. He dove in the right way for that penalty kick. I did watch the penalty kick. I didn't see what led to it. I didn't think he was that bad, but I do worry that maybe he's getting in his own head when he makes a mistake. He looked like he was flustered, and that worried me a little bit. But all in all, I thought a decent game. Would you say that anybody had a terrible game?
I don't think anybody had a terrible game. I think, and I don't know if Mr. Krabs is being serious or not, but he says that Drake's wife, Drake and him and his girlfriend recently got married and his wife is pregnant. So he's nervous. I don't know if that's true or not, but if it's true,
then, his wife is pregnant. I don't know if that has anything with him being nervous, but his wife is pregnant.
Shout out to Mrs. Callender. I didn't know. So congratulations, Drake on having a baby. I don't know if it's his first, but if it is, you, myself, and Chris can give him a lot of pointers. So, you know, we have some experience with kids. But look, man, I think it's okay for a goalkeeper, you know, to sit down a game every now and then. It's okay to clear your head. But I think he did okay today. You know, he didn't do anything bad, but we'll see what happens. Again, in the summer, there could be some goalkeepers that become free. You know, we'll see what happens. You got to monitor the situation out there with LAFC and their starting goalkeeper. They have Hugo Lloris, but they also have Crepeau, who is a starting goalkeeper for Canada, and he's a fantastic goalkeeper as well. So you got to monitor that situation because if Drake Callender becomes expendable, he might be an option to bring in if you're looking at somebody, domestically.
Shout out to Italia, one world, one goal. She was on the whole Suarez. She never wavered. So shout out to you, much like us. We never wavered either. Shout out KoYu9NWTM. Hi from Chicago. Shout out to them. Now, we did have some people saying that they thought Gressel had a bad game. Rohan questioned if it was Robert Taylor. What did you think of Robert Taylor's game? Because Robert Taylor, I mean, to be fair, in the first half, the offense was abysmal all over. It got to a point where I saw Messi tracking back to get help get the ball in his own half, all the way down by the – he was basically standing next to Weigand when he was trying to help beat that press. Like, he was – it was really difficult to watch that our offense in that first half. What did you think of Robert Taylor, considering the fact that when he did play, I mean, in the first half, the team was just horrible overall?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, Taylor, we usually look to him to be, you know, that one-on-one difference maker, you know, where he gets the ball, takes on a defender one-on-one and either, you know, looks for the center or looks to get inside the box or takes a shot. And I didn't see him do a lot of that today. I think he tried, but he didn't really do a lot of what he normally does today. I think he kind of got lost in the shuffle. The first half was just not his sauce. And then, you know, the second half, he was just overshadowed by a player who is, you know, kind of like the new, you know, the brand new toy. And that's Matias Rojas. He outshined him in the second half. And I think that's why, you know, you're kind of, everybody might be a little bit down on Taylor, but look, everybody's okay. Everybody's allowed to have a game here where they're down. But overall, you know, I think he should continue to start. Matias Rojas should, you know, possibly continue to come off the bench, maybe for another game, or maybe continue to, you know, start in the midfield there. But look, just because he had a down game doesn't mean you got to be down on Taylor.
For sure. No, I agree. I don't think there's any reason to be down on Taylor, and I want to get to that right now. But real quick, Jason L's asking, where was I? Every once in a while, Chris and I exchange tickets so that he could take his whole family. I could take my whole family. So today I gave him my ticket so he could take his whole family. And in a couple of weeks, he's going to give me some of his tickets so that I can go with my entire family. So every once in a while, we do that. So not too often, but, you know, every once in a while. So that's why I'm not at the game. And I'm on here right after the game was over. Okay, so to that point, Robert Taylor, do you think there's any chance that Matias Rojas takes his starting position? I know we're winding down here. We're almost at the end of the show. But do you think there's any chance that Matias Rojas ends up being the starting left wing for this team and Robert Taylor finds himself on the bench?
Yeah, I think that's a possibility. I don't think it's going to be next week. But I think when this team is at full strength and you have Diego Gomez and you have, you know, Federico Redondo, and you have Matias Rojas and Kremaski and Ruiz and Gressel and all these players, I think eventually Tata's going to have to make a decision. I hope not, because then they won't win. You know, he went to Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich hasn't lost a Bundesliga in like,
years.
The last 15 years. And he goes there and Bayern Leverkusen wins. So yeah, come on. Sucks. I mean, although I will tell you this, he might
win the
Champions. He doesn't
fit. Where's he going to play him?
He might win the Champions, but we'll see.
Not beating Real Madrid.
But getting back to the game, yeah, I can see a situation where Robert Taylor is replaced by Diego Gomez or by Matias Rojas to play that left wing when Diego Gomez comes back and he's healthy, 100%. Now, I'm mentioning it again, he's a big, big, big option to be traded in the next transfer window. He, you know, he's a free agent next year. You don't know if Inter Miami is going to be able to pay him what he's probably worth, because he's worth a lot more than what he's making right now. Yeah. I think
he's getting paid like $250,000 right now.
That's right. So again, he's a very, very, very interesting and just attractive contract that you could use to get another international spot and some GAM to bring in some of the folks that are lovely. You know, subscribers and folks in the chat are talking about, whether it be a Di Maria, whether it be a Neymar, whether it be a goalie, or even maybe another defender. You don't know. But Inter Miami is always looking for that extra international roster spot. And now I think with the play that Matias Rojas has showed us, Taylor becomes expendable.
Let's hypothetically, because we're thinking about League's Cup, right? When everybody should be healthy and possibly back. If I think about League's Cup and a healthy starting 11, that would put us with Drake Callender for now at goalie. You have Jordi Alba as a left back, Freire and Aviles center backs, Weigana as your right back. You have Busquets as your CDM, and you have Gomez and Redondo flanking him on each side. And then up top, you have Messi, Suarez, and possibly Matias Rojas.
I don't think, remember, be careful because Redondo might not, Redondo might be going to the Olympics.
Oh, for the Olympics.
So he won't be here in League Cup. And if Gomez doesn't make it to Copa America, then he'll go to the Olympics also. But this is where all this is lovely. That's why all this comes in play. Matias Rojas is probably not going to go to the national team for neither Copa America nor for the Olympics. So that's a player that can go into the middle. You know, Kelvin says there, you got Afonso as well, who has showed that he can keep up with these kind of guys. So, I mean, I don't think, you know, unless Inter Miami goes through a massive, massive like injury craze over the next couple months, the starting 11, Danny, you're probably going to have one and a half or two teams to play with the last couple of months of the season.
And well, that's what I'm thinking. So, yeah, it's because I'm starting to think that with the Olympics, there's a chance that we don't get our fully healthy, Farias aside, team until about September. And at that point, it's great because right at that point, you're making the playoff push. And what you want is everybody healthy for the playoffs. But if you have the starting 11, and hypothetically, we found out this week that they still have an open roster spot. So, and you can still buy down Campana. So you still have an availability at a DP. Hypothetically, you can add a good defender. I know everybody, I like to bring up Sergio Ramos because I'm a huge Sergio Ramos fan. I know, but who knows? We bring in somebody. I'd take Nacho. If you bring in a center back, add it to this starting 11, all healthy that I just named, I don't think there's any MLS team that could touch this team fully healthy. Look, the way it is right now, with Redondo and Gomez out, Inter Miami has played 28 players. That's the most of any team in the MLS by far. They've been kind of building this team and kind of piecing it together as they go. If this team is fully healthy by September, October, when the playoffs start, I'm sorry. I don't think there's any team that can beat this team. This team needs to be MLS champions by the year's end because anything else would be a huge disappointment.
100%. 100%. And, well, no, they cannot buy out a contract. I think they did that with Coco Jean. But what they can do is they can buy down. Now that we saw the roster and what everybody is, they can buy down the contract of Leo Campana, who is one of our three DPs right now with Messi and Busquets. And when they buy that down, you get an extra DP. And so, again, a lot of things can happen. And there's also some rumblings that in the summer, MLS is going to change some rules. And there could be an additional DP or some other roster stuff. So I agree with Mr. Krabs, MLS Cup or bust. Especially with this team.
And I don't think there's going to be another DP. I don't think there's going to be another DP. But what I do see happening is because we have all our international spots filled up, we would need to free up another one if we bring an international player. But I realized that one of those international spots is being filled up by Yannick Bright. Now, if we have an opportunity to bring in another DP that needs an international spot, I mean, I think Yannick Bright has looked solid, right? MLS standards or whatnot. But I think that he would be the guy that ends up being the casualty to open up, to kind of let other people go. So
yeah, I don't. And that's why I keep bringing up Taylor. And the reason why I keep bringing up Taylor is because his contract is a little bit more expensive than Yannick Bright's. Yannick Bright plays in the midfield, an area where we are going to have or where we're going to need a lot more depth, especially with, you know, the World Cup qualifying games in September and October and all the guys leaving. So we're going to need depth there. And I think Yannick has shown that he can play there. I think Taylor would be the guy to go to get the international roster spot, unless what you're saying is maybe they bring him down to the second. Or I don't know how it would work because I'm not so
privy. I don't know
to
exactly all the roster rules.
But I mean, yeah, if it meant just literally just taking, you know, the international spot away from him and then moving him down to the B team and doesn't count, then yeah, I agree with you. But if it means
or trading him,
I would trade Taylor over Bright because I think Bright has a much larger future in the MLS, and I think Taylor could possibly be going back to Europe, if he continues to play like how he's playing.
I'd have to check. I don't remember if Robert Taylor is using up one of those international spots. Honestly,
I don't think he is anymore. No, but that's what I'm saying. They would trade him for an international roster spot. But yeah, I don't think he is. I don't think he is. I think he I think he got his green card. So
yes. So real quick, just so everybody knows, the international slots, there are currently 11 of them. It's Jordi Alba, Tomas Aviles, Yannick Bright, Sergio Busquets, Nicolas Freire, Diego Gomez, Messi, Redondo, Matias Rojas, Luis Suarez, and Marcelo Weigand. So those are the 11 international spots. And by the way, for those of you asking, because I see Dennis said, Chris, come back, please. Chris is actually going to be getting on with us in about a minute or two. He just texted me, said he wants to go over real quick. So we're going to hold out here so that Chris can join us for the last couple minutes before we ride out of here. I'm not sure. I thought he was going to be heading up north, but he said he's going to be jumping on in a second. So we'll wait for him. So we'll keep going here. I don't know. I'm just going to wait for Chris now. And Tank, you never told us what exactly was going on up in the north stand outside. He said that they were like sauce, like sardines, because they were so packed up there. I mean, that's how the supporter shield, the supporter section usually is, no? It's usually jam-packed, everybody jumping around.
Don't go to La Bombonera. don't go to El Monumental. Don't go to South America and go to the big games there, because you go to the Barra Brava there and you're not moving. So,
no, that's what I hear. And Italia, yes, Danny, what do you think of Campapi taking up DP? Do we trade him or sell him to? Well, I don't know if anybody in Europe wants him right now, honestly, because he hasn't showed promise. I think that the best move would be to buy him down so he's not a DP. I don't want to say unfortunately. I think Campana has some promise. I like Campana. Definitely not DP quality, but I like him. So buying him down and having him as a backup striker and not being a DP designated player, I think that would be a good move for Inter Miami. So, I mean, I don't hate that he's on the team.
You know, I'm okay with it. He played very well coming out of Ecuador in the younger divisions. And he had a really good U-20 World Cup. And that's, how he got the jump from Barcelona Sporting Club in Ecuador over to Europe. But he didn't really do much in Europe. A lot of people were saying that, he was homesick. It kind of got to his head. And here in Miami, his family lives in Miami. So it's kind of like it's his second home. Although he was born in Guayaquil, he basically was coming back and forth from Miami and Guayaquil his whole life. So he kind of is at home here and he's a little bit more comfortable. And I think he's just going to kind of just stay here.
Jeff is saying Di Maria is coming. Before we bring Chris on, because I see Chris is about to get on, what do you think about all these Di Maria rumors?
I mean, I love them. I would love to have Di Maria on this team. I think as he would be a fantastic super sub. I think he would be a fantastic starter if you needed him. He could play in the middle. He can play, as a winger. Bringing more players like or with the caliber of a Messi, of a Suarez, of a Busquets, I'm never going to say no to that, ever. I don't care if he's 38, 39. If you have quality and talent, I want you on my team because that quality and talent is going to feed to the rest of the team. Not necessarily do you have to play 90 minutes. You could play 25 minutes. I experienced it with Recoba, Chino Recoba, playing for Nacional. He played when he was older. He would come in the last 20, and even if it was a free kick that we needed, he would score the free kick. So I'm saying, look, they could give you those types of moments.
I love Di Maria also. La décima for Real Madrid back in 2014, I felt like Di Maria didn't get enough credit for that because I felt like he was the key to that Champions League run, winning La Décima, which they were after for over 10 years. And I don't think he got enough credit for that. So I love Di Maria. But, man, the guy's like 36, 37 years old. I want some young legs up in here. But with that being said, let's bring in the birthday boy himself, Mr. KBD. Happy birthday. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, man. It was awesome. Thank you so much for letting me have your tickets, Danny. It was much appreciated. It was freaking amazing. My kids had a freaking blast.
That second half, though.
There was a I mean, even though it was on the other side, but there was a Red Bulls fan behind me that looked miserable as ever. I'm pretty sure that Luna saw it. And thank you guys so much for the birthday wishes. I was trying to keep up as I was driving, but I was going 100 plus miles per hour. So
yeah, Chris is a horrible driver. Just horrible.
I'm an efficient driver. I'm not a horrible driver.
Efficient.
Let's get those.
That's a good way to put it.
Things.
Efficient. All right.
So yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this guy looked miserable. He was complaining about a fan. It was a disaster for that guy for sure. He's gonna go and blow his brains out later. Yes. And you know what, Skyler? Let's chill with the Star Wars talk, the Star Trek stuff. All right, that's not my cup of tea, guys. Of course, I mentioned it in the chat. And Solana, thank you so much for kicking it with Danny tonight. It's super appreciated, man. You're a battle brother, so it's always great to have you on with us
Usually talking Spanish with us on Monday nights. So, Chris, me and Solana have been talking for an hour about the game. So, what are your thoughts on the game?
In the beginning, I'm actually sad to say, but like, I think that Ruiz was the problem, not so much Robert Taylor. It just so happens that Matias Rojas came on for Robert Taylor. So, it's like,
came in for Ruiz.
He came in for Ruiz, but he filled in Taylor's space. Didn't he fill in Taylor's space later on in the game?
No, he filled it in once Robert Taylor got off the pitch.
Yes, once Taylor got off the pitch, he filled it in. But you just saw immediate success from the Paraguayan, and
text message, right?
I saw it, bitch. I did. I saw it. It was good.
So, anybody that
this
stood
is a
out
good
to you
point
Chris.
Right here, Aria with Super Sub Rojas. That's really really good. I think the person that stood out to me, to be honest, was, Matias Rojas. You expect Messi things from Messi. You expect Suarez things from Suarez. And Matias Rojas, came in. The sucky thing about all the goals being scored from the other side, it sucks is because it's not so close. But I saw the fucking perspective of that pass to Matias on his first goal. And I saw it go to his left foot. I'm like, he's not going to take it. There's no way. And he just fucking said, fuck this. Boom. Big balls and just fucking put that shit in the back of the net. I said, ooh, this guy could fucking play. This guy could fucking play. Ooh, man, that got me nervous. That got me nervous for Robert Taylor for sure.
Chris better let you go to 3 games straight to make up for what he saw and what you missed tonight. I definitely missed a good one.
Yeah, definitely.
I missed a good one.
Well, he'll be going to two.
Yeah, he's giving me his tickets for the DC United game. And DC United sucks. So hopefully they could do something similar and make up for what I missed tonight. But tonight was definitely a special night. Actually, for those that don't know, Chris wasn't into soccer before Inter Miami. And I brought him to a game. It was against the New England Revolution. And we beat them 5-1. It was the most goals up until today that we had ever scored in the game. And after that game, Chris fell in love with the sport, and he's been heavy in it now for, 3-4 years now? So, those ass kickings are always good.
Always. Yeah, for sure. I'm pretty sure that they – thank you, Mr. Krabs. Yes, he's showing his respect to senior citizens. Mr. Krabs, make sure you have my fucking burger with my senior citizen discount for me, okay? I want an extra crusty.
So everybody's making me feel bad now. Everybody's like, damn, Danny, you missed the game of the year.
apparently. And thank you, Rick Hunter. Much appreciated.
Hey, Chris, how about Suarez with the third ever Inter Miami hat trick? How about that, huh?
How about a scissors kick? Low, but it was a scissors kick, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a high 30-year-old scissors kick, but it was a scissors kick nonetheless. That was gorgeous.
No, and Rojas needs to get more credit for that second goal because it was his pressure forced the turnover. Was. He knocked the ball forward to Suarez, and that led to that first Messi goal. And Chris, by the way, I don't know if you got to watch the show from the beginning or that you've been on Twitter, but we were talking on Monday about when Messi might pass Robert Taylor as the all-time leading assist man. And you're like, I don't know, man. Robert Taylor's going to keep assisting to Messi and Suarez. I don't know. It might not happen till the end of the season. Dude, it happened tonight. It literally took one game. Lionel Messi is now Inter Miami's all-time assist leader. He passed Robert Taylor today, I would have never put money on that. We were talking about it on Monday, but absolutely ridiculous to see. I still love Robert Taylor. I don't want to see Robert Taylor go anywhere. But when I saw with Matias Rojas, man, if he keeps this up, don't be surprised if he is now manning the left wing for Inter Miami in the near future.
Yeah. Look, it was a fun game. It sucks that the first goal, I mean, that was sour. The penalty at the end was kind of crappy.
Oh, what happened? What happened? Because neither of us saw the penalty, like the actual penalty.
It was right in front of you. What happened?
It was right in front of me from what I could tell. I mean, it was like a slide and nobody got carded for it either. I forgot who it was that did a slide tackle or something. But he was there bitching and complaining on the floor, gets up and then starts limping and then feels great all of a sudden. It just gave him a penalty. I really couldn't even tell myself exactly what had occurred, who it was. And then, of course, we're talking about like towards the end of the game, like it was crappy.
One more thing, because if you don't mind, Danny, really quickly, because Tank mentioned like multiple times something was going on in the north stand, something hazardous or whatever. Can you give us any insight into what was going on? Because you know, from home, we couldn't see what was going on.
I sent a picture to Danny. I don't know if you could upload this picture, that picture that I sent you. I think maybe that's what he's talking about.
No, he's talking about the fact that it was just absolutely jam-packed.
Could be. I'm going to see if I can be able to send this to myself, this picture, which I didn't appreciate. I'm going to try to do it. But I'll tell you one thing. That, like I said, there was a Red Bulls fan that was super, super pissed. Super pissed about this. Some Inter Miami fan in the area complained. He got like a fan ambassador, wrote like a 7-page like complaint letter from like ChatGPT. Like this guy went
like the one that you're gonna make for Gomez's apology letter.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I'm going to use. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I actually, funny that you mentioned that, I actually use ChatGPT. I didn't know that they write complaint letters and stuff. I used it for Wawa. And I'm not a complaint guy.
Man, you complained about Wawa?
About Wawa?
Dude, all right. No. All right. Are we going to gas bag at this point? I ordered a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich. And they did it, and I added extra bacon, extra cheese. Guess what they missed in the sandwich? A bacon, egg, and cheese. Ordered extra bacon. They missed the egg. What are you doing?
So you got a bacon. You got a bake extra bacon, extra cheese sandwich.
Exactly.
That's tasty, baby.
How can I not complain?
That's good, though. That's good for keto. That's good for keto.
I mean, but you know what?
Keto is horrible for you.
It is.
It has protein. It has protein, and I didn't appreciate. I didn't appreciate not having eggs in my damn bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich.
Well, all right. Well,
I'm trying to bring up the picture, Danny. It's just taking me a little bit.
No, that's fine. I mean, we are now 12 games into the season. This is the best start in franchise history. We have 24 points. Chris, we were talking about it earlier. We probably heard it in the car. If we were to win out the next 6 games that Messi is playing with us, as well, you know, health, well, hoping that he's healthy, the next 6 games before he leaves to Copa America, that would give us 18 more points, which would put us at 42 points, which is good enough to get the 9th seed last year. So at that point, you're halfway through the season, and you already have enough points to make it into the playoffs. So you are sitting pretty. I mean, as far as Tata goes, I understand that everybody's priority was Champions Cup. Unfortunately, we ran into Monterrey, which Columbus handled, but we weren't fully healthy. If we would have been, I think we could have beat them, but we didn't. It's so be it. But as far as the MLS is concerned, we've only lost two games all year. And I mean, we're looking good. Best start in franchise history. And I saw somebody earlier say, but it's not because of Tata. That's a rough spot for Tata to be in, because if they win, it's not because of Tata. But if they lose, it's Tata's fault. So, I mean, at this point, he just has to try to keep winning and then having people not give him credit for it, because he's in a lose-lose situation at this point.
Hey guys, just out of curiosity, you know when Inter Miami got their third loss last year?
Fifth game.
Yeah. Hey, so it's not that bad. 12 games in, two losses. Take it, man. Take it and move on.
I know this. You know, I don't know why I know this. Because we won the first two games, and then we started losing. And we wouldn't. And the reason this stands out to me is because this is where the Kissing Sisters was born. Because we would not tie. We would not have a draw. We were either win or lose, and we were basically just losing. And the reason I bring this up is because today, coincidentally, I went to a birthday party, a kid's birthday party. And I got home from work. I was rushing, so I just grabbed the first shirt I saw on the top of the stack, my stack of T-shirts, grabbed it, put it on my way. It was a friend of my daughter's. It was a birthday for two girls. There were two sisters, right? I throw on the shirt, and I'm riding over there, and my wife's like, "How stupid are you?" I said, "What?" And she's like, "Why would you wear a shirt that says..." She's like, "Why would you wear a shirt that says Kissing Sisters?" I was like, "Man, I honestly, I didn't realize that it said that that's the shirt that I picked. I just picked the first shirt that I saw. It was a pink shirt. It's Inter Miami game day. I'm trying to rush out of the house. And for those of you that don't know, if you go on batterfans.com, we have a Kissing Sister shirt, which is a nod to our inside joke for no draws last season. And my wife was really upset at me. We couldn't go back, because obviously we were pretty far ahead. I asked her if she wanted me to just drop them off. She's like, "Absolutely not. You're not leaving me with two kids at this birthday party." And so I walked around, and now the Kissing Sisters, it says it right there. So I kept going like this. And this is how I was walking around the whole time. And I would just keep doing that to kind of cover where it says Kissing Sisters. So yeah, so that was my day. My wife, I don't know if she can hear me. I don't know if she's upstairs, but she was pretty pissed off. But yeah, that was my bad. So we do have a Kissing Sister shirt.
That's all right, though, man. It's all right. It's all right to be in public with that, dude. It's 2024. Anything's possible.
Yeah. Look, take off the shirt, Danny. What are you talking about? What do you want me to do?
Just walk around
a kid's birthday party without a shirt? With my nipples out? Come on here.
I think so. A little more creepy.
I think so.
I want to bring this up. Chris is right. Besides 7-Eleven, I don't know if you meant Clears, but I'm going to tell you right now, guys, Slurpee over slushies any day of the week. If not, fight me. Slurpees before Icy's. You like Icy's, Danny. You're an Icy. Yeah. Or Slurpee over any other. What? No. Oh, no. You got a problem.
You would take 7-Eleven over AC's Icy's?
No. I'm talking about Burger King Icy brand. Like the
there
icy,
is no such thing as Icy. Those are all slushies.
It's called Icy. That's the brand. Baba.
No, they're slushies. I don't care. It's still slushies.
But they're not Slurpees. Slurpees over
Icy's
everything.
Icy's are what you get from AC's Icy's, where it's the piragua. It's the
AC's pal. Icy's is not part of that.
All right. Go ahead. Let's finish this gas bagging, because at this point we're just gas bagging hardcore.
So I got the picture though. I got the picture. I don't appreciate this guy out there in the supporter section with that lightsaber. I don't appreciate that, guys.
I mean, it for your birthday. You're not allowed to bring in fireworks. You're not allowed to bring in explosive candles. Nothing for your birthday. So they did it for your birthday, Chris. Come on, you know that.
I don't
know if
you also...
That's La Familia showing their respects to KBD.
I don't know if you guys see over there in like that little walkway area. Do you see all those little mini lightsabers? I mean, Danny, it's right next to you. It's like up the staircase. Do you see that?
Yeah, I see.
Right? Maybe that's what he's talking about, because I've never seen that before.
Well, are they lightsabers, or did they put
you think like, they had a stack of lightsabers for everyone to get?
They lit up the
stairs.
That's
what I think. Maybe they put lights on the stairs so people could see. I don't know.
I don't appreciate that. It's too close to the lightsaber. You know what, Solana, let me tell you something. It's already bad enough that my birthday has always been overshadowed by Cinco de Mayo, right? And now,
now it's overshadowed
deal with this
by Yoda.
Stupid Star Wars crap. Like, what the fuck?
May the fourth
be with you. Now it's overshadowed by Yoda, bro. That sucks.
Yeah, that's rough.
Thank you.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm pretty sure because of that, that's why I never forget your birthday. Like, it's really easy to remember his birthday because it's May the 4th be with you. So it's I'm sure people in the chat will probably remember now also, because who forgets that? That's easy to remember.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I'm gonna remember it because it's the day Inter Miami beat New York Red Bull 6-2.
Oh my God!
There you go.
Now Danny's never gonna forget that.
That's all right. I'm expecting a big game. Watch us lose against DC United. I'm gonna be pissed. Any final thoughts, guys? For those of you that are new to watching Solana. Solana joins us every Monday night at 10 o'clock on Batter Herons en Español with Xavier La Voz. So if you enjoyed having Solana on here every Monday night in Spanish at 10 o'clock, and we'll see in the future what holds. Maybe we'll see him more often also. So we will see. Any final thoughts, Solana? And appreciate you jumping on with us. And if you haven't already, like and subscribe, people, please.
No, man. The only final thought is thanks for having me on. You guys know I love chatting with you. Doesn't matter the sport, man, but we have good chemistry, the three of us. And not only have we been podcasting, but we built a friendship. So I appreciate you guys always having me on. And whenever you guys want, man, as a sub or as a plus one, as a third musketeer, you know, you just text me and I'm always in.
And Balfour Beckford.
I apologize, Balfour.
I try, but it's
my fault. I did come in here sort of guns blazing. I promise.
Yeah, you promised me plenty of times don't hold your breath. He's promised me plenty of times. It's just never gonna change.
I'm gonna try my best, Balfour. I promise. I'm gonna try my best. I'm gonna give it the.
Maybe we could figure out a way to like. You got to do something if you start dropping bad words.
Like put up one of the arts on the wall?
No, something worse that you don't want to do.
Yeah, I haven't done that. And I have the walls right over here. I have the arts here. I have to stick the little sticky things in the back.
I like this. So were you the person that suggested this on the YouTube comments? Because if you were, shout out to you. We brought this up on Monday that we should, from now on, have a man of the match, OTM, other than Messi. So man of the match, other than Messi, because it's usually Messi. Because when I first saw this Suarez or Rojas, I was like, no, it's Messi. But then I realized what he had written there. So man of the match, other than Messi. Solana, Rojas. What do you think? No, he's going
to
go.
Just go to KDB, bro. You got to ask me for real?
Yeah, I know. For those of you who don't know, Mr. Uruguay over here. Yeah, I see it in the back.
Man of the match, right here. Man of the match.
Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, no, it's Rojas. I mean, like I said before, you expect it from Luis Suarez. Unfortunately, it's like it comes with the territory. You know, for Matias Rojas to come in and have that impact, that's something that you can't. It's something you couldn't project.
Hat trick in 17 minutes, Chris. Hat trick in 17 minutes. Yeah. Man of the match.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to side with Chris on this one for the simple fact that although you said it was a hat trick in 17 minutes, he played more than 17 minutes. So it was a hat trick really in like 80 minutes. But I think because the game turned so much, as soon as Rojas got on the pitch, he was the catalyst for that second goal. He doesn't get credit for it. It was a brace. And he stepped up to the moment. This is his home debut, his second game ever. I think Rojas needs a lot of credit. To me, man of the match other than Messi, I think, yes, for sure. And then worst man of the match, Somebody said Chelo. Chris.
I don't know. I don't think so, man. I don't think so. I think it was David Ruiz, maybe. Probably David Ruiz. I mean, and it's not because
you got subbed off. I have.
And it's not because he did terrible. It's just, I mean, if you had to pick the worst performing player on the field, I mean, he just didn't do that great.
Yeah. And Solana, you got anybody?
I agree with Chris. But for me, it's between Ruiz and Taylor. And Taylor only because I thought he was kind of just lost. It just wasn't his game. But I'm going to chalk that up to, you know, an anomaly. That doesn't normally happen to Taylor. And I'm going to go with Ruiz. Ruiz was the not man of the match.
Yeah.
All right. And shout out to Rick Hunter right there. All right. So I think that's it. We will be back on Monday to talk a little more nonsense as usual. So we'll be back on Monday at 9 o'clock in English and at 10 o'clock in Espanol with Solana and Xavier. So thank you, Solana, for filling in for Chris. Thank you for Chris for, well, I got to talk to you later to see why you ended up at home, but for jumping in late and joining us. And as always, for the chat. So if you are listening on audio, we appreciate you listening all the way to the end. Please leave us 5-star comment, review, all that other good stuff. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you for watching all the way to the end. It's an hour and a half. We haven't done a show this long in a very long time. So if you stuck around this long, we appreciate you. And as always, for everybody in the chat, we appreciate you hanging out with us for the last hour and a half. As always, you guys are by far the best part of the show. And it just wouldn't be as fun without you. So thank you guys for joining us. And we will see you guys on Monday. So until the next one, have a good one.
Nos vemos.